Friends, can I invite you to come back together? I'm sure there's lots more that could be said. Sorry if there are those who find it a little difficult to see us at the back, but hopefully you can hear us anyway and make sense of what we're saying. Two more workshops to hear about. These folks on my left are designed to confuse me, Katie and Kate. I think I'm beginning with Katie. Yes. Katie, it's particularly lovely to have you here because Katie is from the Quaker tradition. And of course, the Quakers have something to say to us about silence, I think. It's part, a rich part of their tradition. So it's really good to have you here, Katie. Tell us, first of all, a little bit about yourself and where you're from.
Thank you. So I'm from Bath. My day job is working in the library in the university in Bath, so that's a different sort of silence. But this is the first time I've been to a Retreat Association event, so I'm feeling a bit like I'm in at the deep end this morning. The workshop that I've been doing and will be doing again this afternoon, part of what we're looking at there is the role of silence and of speech in Quaker worship.
That's great. And you're presumably part of a Quaker meeting yourself?
I am, yes. And I'm not claiming any particular expertise in this. What I'm talking about, this is just how I make sense of Quaker worship. And I know there are several other Quakers here this week. So if you get the chance, you might like to ask them if they're willing, what their experience is, what the silence means for them as well.
Mm. Well, thank you for being here, Katie. And tell us a little bit about then your tradition and how silence figures within it, how it perhaps helps us in those processes of discernment and encountering God and one another. Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing in your workshop. Thank you.
Thank you. So Quaker practice has been described as patterned by listening and gathering. So if you look at any element of Quaker practice, you'll find these patterns of listening and gathering. And if you go along to a Quaker meeting for worship, which you would be very, very welcome to do, you'll be invited to join a group of people who are gathering together to share a listening sort of silence. And in that silence, we're listening inwardly, listening for love and truth, hoping to deepen our awareness of God's presence and invitation in our lives. So I've found that this is a silence of presence rather than a silence of absence. A bit like Lynn was saying, I think it's a silence where I can be honestly present to myself, present in my relationships with other people, with the world, and present to this mystery, to God. And so it's not about being cut off or isolated. It's not a silence of sensory deprivation. Instead, it's about connection. So this is a communal silence. It's something we create together. It connects us to one another. Everybody present is contributing. And sometimes your contribution might be a sort of stillness that helps the meeting find its way into that silence, to find its way into the depths. Or sometimes you might be contributing by praying in the silence for other people. Or sometimes you're bringing a joy or a grief or a question that you're grappling with. And quite often it's just a case of turning up, sitting there, however you are. There's a lovely story about a woman who's feeling sort of depleted, run down. And she goes to a meeting for worship and she reports this sort of inner dialogue that she has. She says, "Here I am, just for a bit of a sit down." And the response comes, "That's all right." She says, "You mustn't expect anything from me. I can only bring a need." And the response, "Whatever you have." So whatever you have, whoever you are, however you are very welcome in that shared silence and you are contributing. Bringing a need is a valuable and valued contribution. So every Quaker meeting for worship is different. Sometimes I get a sense of a sort of current or a music to the silence. It's fidgety or it's still, or you get a sense of, oh, I think today's are somehow about love or about injustice or whatever it happens to be that day. Occasionally I've had a very strong sense of feeling like I'm part of a body, that sort of gathered group worshipping together. More often for me, I'd describe it as a sort of experience of spaciousness, of becoming aware that everything is held in this tender, loving spaciousness. And when Chris was mentioning that kindness of God, that was making me think of this. So we're hoping then that Quaker worship is a communal silence and an attentive listening sort of silence. It's also, I think, a creative silence. So we're used to the idea that God creates by speaking. You know, in the beginning, God said. But what I find really exciting is the idea that God is a God who listens as well as a God who speaks, and that this listening is an active, creative something. So that in each and every moment, God is creating, sustaining, inviting into being by listening. There's a Quaker theologian, Rachel Muirs, who writes about God keeping a listening silence. And she draws a parallel, as other feminist theologians have done, with this experience and women's experience in conscious raising groups of being heard into speech. That God is, that listening silence that God keeps is inviting us into being, inviting us to lives of love and justice, to the fullness of life. And I think we know, just sort of from everyday experience, that how we are listened to affects what we can say, who we can be. So what I might say if I was being grilled by a scrutinising journalist live on TV is very different from what I can say in a private conversation with a friend. And I know lots of us here are involved in one way or another in spiritual direction, spiritual accompaniment. And I think we'll know through that just how powerful, how transformative it can be to be really deeply listened to. So I love the idea that in Quaker worship, we're joining in with this God who is always already listening, listening deeply to us, to the community that we're gathered in worship with, to the whole world. And I think we might find this sort of listening silence by ourselves or one-to-one with someone else, but I know I find that it's easier in a group, that somehow that being together with a group with that intention makes it more possible for me to reach this. So one of the things that comes in this creative sort of silence is speech. Quaker worship isn't completely silent. We don't have anything pre-planned, no scripted liturgy or prayers or hymns. But our practice is that anyone can speak if they feel inspired, called to do so. And that's not something we do lightly. It's not just something I want to share or something I'm really passionate about that I want to convince everybody else of. We like to say that this spoken ministry, it comes through us but not from us. So it comes from somewhere deeper. So if all of our lives are touched by God, by love, the spoken ministry is somehow coming from that depth and it arises in the gathered shared silence together. Typically in the meeting for worship I go for, there might be maybe three or four spoken contributions, each a couple of minutes over the course of an hour. So that those spoken words are coming out of the silence and they're received back into the silence, heard in that silence. And although that's disrupted the silence because someone has spoken, on a good day, it doesn't disrupt that sort of attentive stillness. You can almost feel the stillness thickening as the group are sort of listening together to what's been offered. Just to give one example, I remember an occasion when somebody spoke about, they'd been reading the newspaper about torture, and they were really anguished about this, and they said, "Where was God in that?" And there was a sort of collective holding of breath for a moment, a real thickening of the silence. And then in the silence, that attentive stillness, you knew that the group was grappling with this in the silence and in the spoken contributions that followed. And that was very moving. So I think this is a practice that can bear a great weight. You know, it can deal with the ugliness, the misery, the cruelty of life, but keep open this possibility of love. So I've been talking about silence and speech in Quaker worship. I just wanted to say briefly that you find this pattern, this listening and gathering, the shared silence and the ways of speaking that come out of silence in pretty much any occasion when Quakers get together. Celebrations, weddings, funerals, how we take our decisions together as a community, how we deal with conflict. In some form or another, you'll even find it in my meeting's annual talent show. And if there's time, I'd like to just end by sharing one of my recent experiences of Quaker worship. So in May, I went to Britain Yearly Meeting, which is the national gathering of Quakers in Britain. About 1,000 of us met in London for a weekend. And this year, for the first time, I was on the pastoral care team. And I was feeling rather daunted about this. How on earth could I care for, uphold 1,000 people, most of whom I had never met? And I found that in the run-up to yearly meeting, I was picturing all these people as little grains of rice and maybe a few lentils. And that way, I could get a sense of the vast numbers, but also each was an individual, a bit of space around them, sort of held in God's love. And that was a way I could pray for the gathering. And then the first session I went into in yearly meeting, there were nearly 1,000 of us gathered in a room, and it settles into silent worship. And this is an amazing experience, having an intentional, worshipful silence with 1,000 people. There's a real depth to that silence, a sense of goodwill, of blessing. And in that silence, a word popped into my head. Risotto. Because here were all of those people, all of those grains of rice that I'd been praying for, and we were just soaking in this wonderful, nourishing, rich silence together, and somehow we'd sort of cohered into a community, into a risotto.
That's lovely, Katie. We'll see what's on the menu for lunch later. But I love that idea of God listening deeply to us. That's a beautiful idea. Thank you very much indeed. And I think some of the Quakers I've been privileged to know, what strikes me about them is this way in which they draw on this tradition of silence, but are so deeply, passionately concerned about our world and many of the issues that are challenging people around the world in all sorts of ways.